Well, let's give God praise and magnify Him. What a good God. How exciting, all these doors that are opening up at schools. And I don't know what you think about Xavier preaching at a church, but five people getting the Holy Ghost is a good thing. People going down in water in Jesus' name is a good thing. Sometimes when you're outside the box, you don't know where the box is. And so we just need a lot of Holy Ghost in all of that. We really do. And we're going to trust God because God is good. We have never formally and physically met the Koenig family in Deggendorf, Germany. And they communicate with us, but they're with us every Sunday morning on the internet service. It's evening for them. Works out. They just have an evening service. But they're with us every Sunday morning on the internet. And we always want to greet them and let them know that we're so thrilled that they're here. I want us to take a minute. Brother Werner has had some physical problems, some health problems. And I'd like for you to take a minute right now and just lift him up and pray. Pray for their home and family and pray healing and strength in his body. Would you do that right now? Mighty God, we just pray that you'd bless them right there, that you'd lay your hand upon them. You're not bound by the distance or by the time, God. Just breathe into Brother Werner's body. Give him strength and health. Let healing and anointing flow in their home and in his life and in his body right now. We pray that you would do it in the name above every name. Strengthen and bless and heal, oh God, as only you are able to do. Praise God. Praise God. And if you believe that God hears and answers prayer, go ahead and clap your hands, lift your voice, and magnify Him. We give you thanks, oh God, and we magnify your name, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. And we had a wonderful, extraordinary, Holy Ghost-filled gun safety course here yesterday. Had probably 40 people learning about handling firearms here yesterday in the service. You say, well, what's that about? Well, everybody has different circles they travel in and things they are interested in. And if you're traveling in that circle, we want you to be safe about it. So it's just a good idea. And there's some other things happening there that we'll talk to you about. Tonight, we've been working on something for a while. Brother Stephen and Sister Danita Dross are in the district. And his schedule has been really, really difficult to nail down. And finally, he's got that done, but it's all down in the south of the state. So he's only going to be able to be with us tonight. And it's late notice, but here he comes. He's going to be with us tonight in the service. And we're always glad to have Brother Stephen Dross and Sister Danita and their friends of this church and wonderful missionaries there in Guadalajara. And so we're thrilled and we'll be blessed to have them in service tonight. Praise God. So how you doing? How's your Holy Ghost? How's your victory today? You running on empty? You running on full? It's just as easy to run on full as it is to run on empty. And the outcome is a lot better. So touch your neighbor and tell him, don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's right. You just need to stay. The idea of a happy hour is not a bad idea if that's all you have. But how about a happy life? How about a happy day? How about this is the day the Lord has made? I will rejoice. It's pretty pitiful to just have an hour relegated to being happy, and they got to sell it cheaper then to get you to come to be happy. It's just the world. They're pitiful. They don't know any better. The problem is not the drugs and the drink and all the mayhem and the trouble. The problem is their distance from God. The closer they get to God, the better they do. The closer we get to God, the better we do. So today we're going to draw close to God. We're going to read this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I guess we'll start in verse 9. And this is Paul wrapping up here toward the end of his second letter to Timothy. He's in a Roman jail, and it won't be but a little while, they're going to take his head off. And he knows that's coming. And it's the day of Nero, and Nero is using the Christians for political fodder. And this is a really difficult time for Christianity in Rome. And it's not Roman brand of Christianity, it's the apostolic brand of Christianity. The Roman brand of Christianity doesn't start till Constantine in the 300s. This is first century, on the deck, full of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, Word of God, apostolic church. The rest doesn't start until much downstream. So here Paul is, verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Hurry up, Timothy, I need you here. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Titus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he has greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, and I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Praise God. A letter from Paul to Timothy. As you're seated, let's give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, and we magnify you, and we lift you, and we thank you, Lord God. Praise God. At the end of the service today, we're going to have Amy Garcia Chavez come down and her support group. Well, she won't come down. She'll be carried down. And we're going to dedicate this baby to the Lord today. We don't really dedicate babies. We dedicate parents. Because babies don't understand what I'm saying, and they're just kind of disconnected from the whole thing. But we dedicate you that you're going to be a good mom, and you're going to bring the baby to the house of God, and you're going to raise the baby up. ¿Entiende usted todas? What did he say? He's trying to speak in Spanish. That's what he said. She's getting translation. But Sister Maria, wonderful translator that she is making sure they get it all. Praise God. So we'll have a baby dedication for Amy. So Paul is covering a lot of ground with Timothy, but I'm struck by the roster we find in this chapter. I'm struck by the list of names and all of the people that he's dealing with here. He's dealing with folks that travel with him, and he's dealing with people that he's encountered in his travels. And as we're looking at this, we're looking at a microcosm of the travels of the believer, the journey of the believer. We could say today that we are traveling together. We're traveling together on what some of the old timers might call the King's Highway. Isaiah put it this way, and an highway shall be there, Isaiah 35:8. A highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, or any ravenous beast shall go up thereon, and it shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now this is Isaiah, a Jewish prophet, writing to a Jewish nation, but a broader audience, because what the law was foreshadowed what the time of the church and the Gentiles would be, and what we are in the time of the Gentiles and in the church age, we foreshadow what the millennial will be. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Those are things that are going to be widespread during the millennial, but now they are in the lives, in the homes, in the families of those who are filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name above every name. Is there anybody here that walks with peace and joy in your life and in your home and in your heart? That's a spattering of applause, but I'm telling you, that's the intent of God for this day, and it foreshadows what the millennial will be. And a highway will be there. There is a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. It's not any old way, and we're not coming like spokes on a heel, on a wheel, coming all our own way, and we'll make it to the center by and by. That's not the way of the Word of God. God is very exclusive, and the Word of God is very assertive, and there is a way, and it's always been that way with the kingdom of God. But he says it'll be called the highway of holiness. Holy is something that only God has, a quality that only God manifests, and he can put it on people, and he can impute it to men. But holy means separated unto the exclusive use of God, something that God has placed his mandate and his hand upon, and it belongs exclusively to him, something that is designed expressly by God's definition and by God's mandate. It's a way of holiness. It's a way that has parameters and boundaries and rules and laws and statutes. And he says the unclean shall not pass over it. The unclean can't tolerate it. They don't want the rule of God and the law of God and the statute of God. They don't want to be separated for the exclusive use of God. They want to go their own way, which is what the garden and the temptation and Satan's fall and all of that was really about. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. It's neat how God frames this. When you live for God, you're a pilgrim in the earth, and your home is not even here. It's somewhere far away. And so if you're going to live for God, you have to have the mentality of a pilgrim, or here as Isaiah says, a wayfaring man. Someone that's not driven his tent stakes too deeply, but is ready to move and is ready to say yes and is ready to respond to God at any time. Go ahead and make all the money you want, but make God the center of your life. Go ahead, get all the education you can and be as good as you can in the craft that God leads you into. But understand that this is temporal, and we're like the grass and our works are like the flower of the grass. And one day it's here and then it's hewn down and cast into the fire. Our life is but a vapor. Do it well, do it with excellence, do all that you can do while you're here, but keep your eye on the prize and understand that nothing here is going to last. Somebody say amen. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Are you glad for an eternal promise because you're living in a temporal body? Are you glad that there's a world to come? Because this world is not going to last. It's going to pass away with a fervent heat. Praise God. So we're living for God, and we are wayfaring men. Though fools shall not err therein. You don't have to be very bright. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar. If you get on the King's Highway, the highway of holiness, God's going to keep you by the sheer nature of that relationship. And you might have a pretty low IQ, but God can keep you. Well, praise God. Though fools, they shall not err there. The lion's not going to be able to be there. It's just like in the middle of a red hot Sunday night service. It's like the day that the demon spirit was visiting King Saul, and the servant said, we need somebody to come here and praise and magnify God. And they went and got Jesse's son, David, and he came back and played and sang and worshiped God. And the evil spirit that tormented Saul had to leave. Do you know that in a hot worship service that people still have the exercise of will, and they can be as carnal as they want to be, but the devil doesn't like being anywhere around that. And you can create a zone that is free from all demonic activity when you come worshiping God with all of your heart. Well, praise God. So no lion shall be there, or any ravenous beast shall go thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. What are you doing singing? How are you smiling all the time? How is it that you're happy in your life and your family loves one another? How is it that you're not worried? Don't you know we're living in perilous times and the politics are crazy and the world is falling apart and the economy's about to crash and there's threats on every side? How is it that you, because I'm walking on the highway of holiness. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I've got joy in my heart. I've got everlasting joy upon my head. He said they'll obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. If God's been good to you and you've got a testimony, clap your hands and lift up your voice and talk about how good God is. Ah, God is great and greatly to be praised. I know you've got problems, but you've got a God that's bigger than your problems. I know you've got trouble, but you've got a God that's bigger than your trouble. I know you may have sickness in your body, but we're going to get a new body. Somebody say praise the Lord. It's just all about perspective. You got to get things prioritized. So we're traveling, and we're traveling together, and I'm pleased this morning to be traveling with you. Where are you going? We're going to heaven. We're going to the kingdom of God. We're going to serve. First thing, we're going to stop for 1,000 years and be on staff and work with God during the millennial, and then who knows what eternity is going to look like. I just have a hard time putting it all together. But it's going to be good, because God does everything well. Praise God. So we're traveling together, and if you're living for God and you're making it to heaven, you're going to get there by traveling this highway. And as you do, you're going to travel with a community of believers. You won't do it all by yourself. You can't even pray the Lord's Prayer without saying, Our Father. It's corporate in the very utterance of the thing. You are a part of a body. You're a part of an organism. You're a part of His bride. You can't exist in God outside the kingdom of God, outside the church of the living God. You can't exist outside the church. You're like a hand or a foot that's cut off and laid out all by itself. You can't exist without the church. Somebody say praise the Lord. And you better find yourself in the midst of the church. Because if you're on the King's highway, the King's people are traveling there. And it's a community, and we are traveling together. In our tenure in the kingdom of God, we've had brief encounters. We've made lifelong friends. We've had zenith experiences. You can't explain all this to folks outside and folks that are not on the highway. They don't really understand. We've walked through tragedy together, and we've had sorrow together, and there have been good times, and there have been tough times, but there's always this, even down at the graveyard, there's a deep, abiding joy. We know where the road is going, and consequently, we know where we're going. Praise God. Anybody glad for the promise of God today? Praise God. And while we're traveling together, something happens. When I first began to walk this, I was so excited about the truth and about the word of God and about the prophecy that led us into the church of the living God. And I was excited about all the things I could see and all the surface things that I could experience. But Brother Travis, I had no idea what it was really going to be like. And somewhere along the way, it became family to me. Somewhere along the way, my travel partners became more closely connected with me than my blood relatives, because I wasn't traveling the King's Highway necessarily with my brother or sister in the natural. But what I was doing, I was walking with new brothers and new sisters in the kingdom of God. And somewhere along the way, after weeping in altars together and pounding doors together and having street meetings together and shouting on a Sunday night together and gathering around the fire of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and the principles of the kingdom of God, somewhere along the way, by some spiritual osmosis, they became family to me, and I became ferociously aligned with them, and I have an allegiance down in my heart now for the church of the living God. I love the church of the living God. I hear MacArthur, he's signing off at West Point. It's his last address. He said, in the last thoughts I'm ever going to have are of the core, of the core, of the core. I want you to know the very last thoughts that you need to have in this life need to revolve around the church. His church, his church, his church is the ark of safety. His church is the only plan of God today. His church is his body. His church is his bride. His church is his way. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. And I know we're in America and that we all are very independent souls. But there's a connectivity implied throughout the Word of God. I've got to have the church in my life. And all the implications that come freighted with that idea of the church. So Paul's having this conversation with Timothy. And he says, Timothy, I need you to hurry and come. And I need you to get here. Demas has forsaken me. And he said, I need you now. I need you to travel with me again. Traveling is seasonal in the church, because there's folks that I've traveled with for a long time, and then I don't travel with them anymore. We uprooted our family, and we left our home church, and we left all of our security there in Baton Rouge and came to Birmingham and really didn't know anybody here. And so it's something I had not considered very carefully, the impact of that. But all of those friends and all of that church family was something we left behind, and traveling then is seasonal. And those of you who've lived for God for any length of time, you've traveled with one or two for a part of the journey, and now you're traveling with someone else, and it's just the seasons of life, and so you need to make sure that you drink deeply and that you invest strongly in these relationships, and that you optimize on the moments, because the moments may not last forever. And you need to understand that traveling and your travel partners are seasonal at best. He says, Timothy, you're my son in the faith. Timothy and Paul are traveling together, but that's about to end because Paul is about to move on to the next season. He's about to get his head cut off by Nero. And he says, he says this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3. These things I write to you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou may knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. He said, Timothy, we're traveling together. It won't last forever. You need to learn these lessons. You need to get this information. You need to model how I'm walking this. You need to see and to understand what it means to have the kingdom of God manifest in your life. Timothy, as a young man, may not understand, because a lot of times when you're in the midst of something and it's good, you just feel like it's going to go on and on forever, but it's not. He tells Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. He said, I was there, Timothy, when you got the Holy Ghost. I was there when somebody laid their hands on you. He said, I want you to meditate on these things and give yourself wholly to them, that the profiting may appear to all. Take heed to yourself, to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I'm so glad that I didn't walk with weak need and shallow people. I'm so glad that I had the privilege to walk in the shadow of giants in my early years in the kingdom of God. I'm glad that somebody had some meat and some bread and we didn't have to survive on only milk. I'm glad I was brought up under somebody that had both feet firmly in the kingdom of God and wasn't more interested in the entertaining values of the world than in the things of God. I'm so glad I was raised up and got to travel with zealots and radicals rather than people that were not fully invested in the house of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Because I didn't understand I would only be walking with my pastor for 13 years. I didn't know exactly how it would all play out. And Paul's telling Timothy, he said, you got to get this now. You got to be serious about this now. You've got to drink deeply of this now. You need to, don't waste a service. Don't waste an altar call. Don't waste a sermon. Ingest it all. Embrace it all. Bring it all into your circle. Have a feast on the word of God. Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust. 1 Timothy 6:20. Avoid profane and vain babblings, oppositions of science, falsely so called. He said, just don't even walk. Don't travel with those that aren't moving in the same direction as us. The scripture gives you the caveat. How can two walk together except they agree? I can't walk with the world, and I can't walk with the worldly, and I can't walk with the charismatic, and I can't walk with the shallow, and I can't walk with those that don't love the truth, and I can't walk with those that don't believe the word of God is the end and the being and the means. I can't walk with you unless you're a fundamentalist. I can't walk with you unless you're sold out. You say, well, that's kind of exclusive and that's kind of hard and I don't have time for that. We're on the King's Highway. I've got to get these lessons. I've got to hear what God is saying now. I can't deviate. You say, well, you're a Pharisee. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm not righteous at all. God's righteous. I'm not holy at all. God's holy. But I'm covered by His righteousness and by His holiness. And I want to stay that way. I see a lot of places that used to preach the word of God. And now they're into social issues. I see a lot of places that used to have the fire of God. They can't even get a service together on a Sunday night anymore because people are down watching the NFL and they're sold out to things of the world. I didn't come to throw rocks at you about any of that. I'm just saying, if you want to really have church, friend of mine, you can have a move of God on Sunday morning. You can have a move of God on Wednesday night, and you can have a move of God on Sunday night. And if you tell me I don't think it takes all of that, friend, it takes a whole lot more of that. And if your appetite is diminished for the things of God, that is symptomatic of the decline of your spiritual state. Well, praise God. All together, sold out. He said, avoid vain babblings. Well, I don't know if we need all that anymore. I don't know if we need to be all that. Well, you just look around. You just see what works. I've stood in the middle of the afterglow of amazing services and wonderful conferences, and I've often just kind of stood and just absorbed and wondered, why can't people connect the dots? Why can't they understand that the thing that they're trying to jettison are the very things that make this kingdom of God business immediate and real and profitable in the lives of those that practice it? Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, beginning in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I've remembered thee in my prayers night and day. On the highway of God we're praying for one another, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. We're not walking along strangers and disconnected, but we are spiritually and emotionally connected on the highway of God. We weep with those that weep. We rejoice with those that rejoice. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I'm persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He said, I knew your grandmother and I know your mama, and I believe what they had is in you. I want you to understand, it is a source of joy to me. I was thinking about, so Shirley, I was thinking about you this morning, and I thought about Granny Allen, and I thought about Sister Jewel, and I thought about you, and I thought about Melody, and I thought about Eli, and I thought, my goodness, 5 generations in the same house, 5 generations in the same family, 5 generations not walking the highway all exactly at the same time, because they never got to hold Eli and they never got to touch him. But I'm telling you, we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, and their influence and their connection doesn't go away just because they step out of this earthly experience. And I'm just telling you, it's a beautiful and an amazing and a wonderful thing that you can have 5 generations on the highway together, and you can stand where Paul was standing, and he said, you know what, this worked in the grandmother's day, this works in your mother's day, this works in your day, Timothy, and one day you may have children of your own. I'm just telling you right now, young mom and dad, you hang on to the truth, you keep walking with the church and the things of God. This thing works. It worked for our forebears. It worked for the apostolic church in the first century, and it's still working right now. God still delivers. God is still a way maker. God is yet a healer. God is a restorer. He's everything he's ever been for anybody. He's that right now. Somebody clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Is there a testimony in this house? Is God still a deliverer? Is God still a way maker? Praise God. He told Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words. You need to hold this, because there's this entropy thing that kind of happens in people's hearts and minds, and erosion and this alienation from things before. We kind of tend to drift. There's this spiritual drift that comes packaged in our humanity. Hold the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And so as we're walking, and I can't help but see in my mind's eye this highway, and these elders have passed the torch, and they've passed it down, and another generation, and yet another generation, and here we are in the prophetic flow, and we're in our little time, our little moment, our little season. And now we've got I thank God somebody had the torch and had the fire and had the light and had the word of God, and still believe Acts 2:38 and still believe the word of God. And I thank God that they were able to pass that on, and now we're doing the same thing. And until the Lord comes, we're going to continue to do that. Paul is encouraging Timothy to keep that good thing that was committed unto him. We've got a responsibility here to the church, to the body, to the people, to the message, to the God of the message. We've got a responsibility to walk this and walk it well. This is not a place for lazy people. This is not a place for people that are not fully invested, because you can't survive on the highway of God. He said in verse 10, we're back into our text. He said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. Along the highway of God and in our seasonal travels, we've traveled with a lot more people than we presently travel with. And a lot of them have left having loved this present world. If all the backsliders from all the churches, the apostolic churches, would ever rise up and decide to come on a Sunday morning, you wouldn't have houses nor lots nor lands big enough to hold them all. I'm talking about thousands upon thousands upon thousands who have come into truth at some level, some measure of experience, maybe stayed 6 months, maybe stayed a year, maybe 10 years, perhaps 20 years, and then at some point, like Demas, just decided, you know, I love what's going on out there. Paul, I got to leave you for a while. I'll be back. I plan to come back, but I'm going to go. And he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And you live for God any length of time, you got some bodies back behind you. You've got some emptiness in your heart and in your spirit from those that you connected with, and they're gone. I've got some that are living in this city right now that I taught Bible study to, that I nurtured. I've got some folks all over the Baton Rouge area that aren't living for God anymore. I know some that preach the gospel and they're not preaching the gospel anymore. Every type of person, every class of person, and that's the way of the church. There's always someone coming in, and I thank God for that. But there's always someone going out, because the doors open, and the human will is always a feature in this equation of living for God. There's always someone coming in. There's always someone going out. Let me tell you something. You want to do this well. You want to survive at this. You want to be effective in the kingdom of God. You want to know that you know that you know. Then you want to get out of the periphera. You want to get out of the shallows. You want to get as close to the core and the vortex of this as you can. I want to be right up. If they're yelling and shouting and screaming and talking in tongues, that's where I want to be. If they're diehard and they won't miss church for anything, that's where I want to be. If they're faithful to the word of God and you never hear them challenging the positions of the word of God, that's exactly who I want to hang with. When they came out of Egypt, they were 600,000 strong and men that were of age to go to war. Maybe 1.7 or 8 or 3 million people. We don't know exactly how many. But the Bible said there was a mixed multitude that saw the door open and said, let's go. Jews are making a break. Let's get out of here too. But there's always a mixed multitude that travels with the church. There's always spectators. There's always people that are going to be there up in the midst of you, testing it, seeing about it, maybe for entertainment, maybe looking for a girl, maybe looking for a guy, maybe looking for God to pay their bills, maybe looking for something in the natural. Who knows all the reasons that they come? And we're glad that you come for any reason that you come, unless you come to shoot folks, and we don't want you here. But otherwise, we're glad you're here. But there's a mixed multitude. If you're new to the kingdom of God and you're new to the King's Highway and you're new to traveling with the church, everything that's in Israel is not Israel, and everything that's in the church is not in the church. Everything that's in the church building is not in the church, spiritual, not in the people of God. But throw your referee shirt and your whistle away, and don't make it your calling in life to judge who is and who ain't, who's faithful and who's not, who's in the flesh or who's in the spirit. Stop that. That's a destructive thing that'll eat your heart out. You just come into the house of God and you just love God just because he's God, and you just make your way and take on the mantle of innocence, wide-eyed innocence, and just let them come. He chose 12 and one of them was a devil. Jesus chose 12 and one of them was a devil. So you may have a devil walking with you in the house of God. You might have a devil sitting right on the seat with you. You might have a devil down the altar going, praise God, praise God. John said about Judas, he said all that business about the alabaster box should have been taken and sold and the money given to the poor. John said he wasn't interested in the poor. He was interested in the money because he held the money bag. And he was a thief. John knew what he was. John's good about always giving you the inside stuff. He says, da, 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 and he was a thief. Parenthetical information. But it gives me pause. He was a thief, and Jesus chose him. He was a thief, and Jesus washed his feet. He was a betrayer. And Jesus, when he saw him coming in the act of betrayal with those to whom he would betray him, he called him friend. Well, that's weird. Seems like we get rid of all the hypocrites and get rid of all the sinners and get rid. Then you really do become a Pharisee. And you constantly wear the striped shirt and the whistle. And you're calling foul on everybody around you. And it eats your very heart out. And you just become an empty old mean bag. That's not the kingdom of God. That's not the highway of God. The highway of God is, come on. Everybody comes. Zacchaeus, come on. Who knows? He may turn around. Come on. Here's a woman sitting by a wellside in Samaria. You're not supposed to sit with a woman by yourself, and you're not supposed to be in Samaria. They're half-breeds. It was a racial thing. He said, I got living water. I can give you a river of living water. That's what the highway of God is about. It's like, come on. If I know you're a dyed-in-the-wool liar, I'm going to be, come on, man, it's so good to see you in the house of God tonight. I'm so glad you're here. Because who knows when the Holy Ghost is going to hit him just right? Who knows when the Word of God is going to excise all of those things? Who knows what he went through as a kid? Who knows what tortured experiences he had? Who knows what got him to where he is? Nobody chooses to be that way, but he was crushed. He was made by his environment, by his influences. Who knows all that? God knows. I don't know. Come on, let's worship God, things will get better. Come on, let's amen the preacher. Things will get better. Come on, let's study the Word of God. Things will get better. The highway of God. We travel with a lot of people that aren't going to make it. We travel with a lot of people that aren't going to make it. But we are not ever going to sit down by the side of the road and wait for those. Well, y'all act... It's Sunday night, and y'all are shouting and dancing and singing and talking about the joy of the Lord. And y'all don't care about me at all. I quit coming 6 months ago, and I'm sad, and I'm mad, and I'm depressed, and I'm... Well, friend, there's not a thing in the world wrong with God. God was true before you walked in the door. God is true the day you walked out the door. God is true, and God is worthy, and we're going to praise him, and we're going to magnify him, and... We would love for you to come back and live for God, but the thing doesn't revolve around you. It revolves around him, and I praise for him, and I live it for him, and I preach it for him, and I believe it for him. Somebody say praise the Lord. The highway of God, we're traveling companions. We're traveling together, and there are a lot of people that drop off the radar that don't live for God anymore, but we're not going to lose sleep. Well, you're hard. No, I'm not. I can't fix them. I promise you this. I'll give you my best shot. I'll do my very best with you. I will pray for you. I'll seek the face of God for you. I'll preach everything I know. And if I get you in a Bible study, I'll teach you everything I know. Amen. It'll take 2 years for me to finish. That's all I know. I'm dry. It's time. But we won't stop the show. And we won't lose our victory. And you're a big boy, you're a big girl. You make that decision. And we're going to go on and have church. Somebody say praise the Lord. Demas backslides. But it wasn't always that way. In Philemon, Paul says, there salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Mark, Aristarchus, and Demas, and Luke, my fellow laborers. Demas was with them, and Demas was working, and Demas was straight. And as far as we can tell, Demas was true, but something got a hold of him, because this whole journey is a filtering process, and you're going to have to develop a ferocious attitude, or you're going to get filtered. You're going to have to develop an attitude. I may get knocked down, but a righteous man gets knocked down 7 times and the Lord lifts him up. If I get knocked down, I'm getting up. You got to cross that before you get to it. I'm going to be betrayed. Well, they betrayed Christ and he's still a good God. If I get betrayed, I'm still going to love people. They were mean to me. Well, they were mean to him. Now, one of the reasons for the incarnation is so that God can stand and look you in the eye at the judgment and say, what did you go through that I didn't already go through? And I wanted you to know that if I took it, you can take it. He did it as a man. Christ Jesus, the man, was tempted, but without sin. Christ Jesus, the man, turned the other cheek. Christ Jesus, the man, overcame the devil in the wilderness. Christ Jesus, the man, forgave his crucifiers. Praise God. So he says, Crescens went to Galatia. Titus went to Dalmatia. To Titus, he says in Titus chapter 1, verse 4, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, peace, from the God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. For every Demas that walks out, he's got a Titus that he says, this is my son in the gospel. Titus, just like he sent Timothy, he said, now Titus, set him up in these cities. Ordain elders in these cities. Teach it straight, son. Keep them right, son. Don't deviate from the truth, son. Make sure that what they have in their generation is just as rich and undistilled as what the generation before had. Make sure that you don't make God ashamed. Make sure that you're a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Praise God. We're on the King's Highway. In verse 11, he says, only Luke is with me. In Colossians 4, he calls Luke the beloved physician. Luke is traveling with revival. He's always been an interesting character to me. He writes the book of Luke, but he also writes the book of Acts. And in the middle of the book of Acts, around the 16th chapter, you've had third person narration. They were with Jesus on the mountain in chapter 1. They were in the upper room in chapter 2. The Holy Ghost filled all of them. They all spoke in tongues. And the street erupted and revival fell out. In chapter 3, Peter and John going down to the temple at the time of prayer. In chapter 4, they're called in front of the Sanhedrin because the lame man went bananas when he got healed. And trouble is happening. In chapter 5, more thousands get the Holy Ghost and they pray through again and they all get the Holy, and it's always they and them and he and all of that. But when you get down to chapter 16, then Luke begins to say, and we sailed and we went. You know, he was on that boat that went down with Paul in the middle of the Mediterranean, and he's chronicling the whole thing. And he's talking about how Paul did this. But when he talks about it, quite often he'll use the first person plural. He'll say, we were there. Paul was walking, talking, stomping revival. He was revival or revolution. And Luke, the beloved physician, went with him all the way, writing it down. He said, somebody's going to want to read this story. Somebody's going to want to know this. And Paul, when he's under a pile of rocks, he doesn't know what's happening. And when he's locked up in a jail cell, he doesn't know what's going on. So I'm going to write all this down. Luke was a traveler with revival. He's called the beloved physician. There are so many wonderful people in the house of God and on the King's Highway. Praise God. He wasn't the apostle, but he traveled with the apostle. He wasn't the apostle, but he held the cloak for the apostle. He wasn't the apostle, but he walked in the same dangerous neighborhoods with the apostle. And he shared the same moments of glory and power and sheer joy that the apostle did. I'm just telling you, I don't care what part I play in the house of God and in the kingdom of God. I crossed over a long time ago. I just want to be in the middle of it. I just want to be in the vortex of it. I want to be a part of what God is doing. Lindsay, come and help. I can't finish this. This is open-ended on both ends and on all sides. And this is something we could just stomp around in all morning and then again tonight. And I had intended to stomp around on it again some more tonight, but we have a Mexican coming to the house. So actually, he's a Canadian that was born and raised in El Salvador and then cut his teeth in Guatemala and is building up a church in Mexico, in Guadalajara right now. But he is a consummate missionary and just phenomenal. And we're excited about him coming tonight. Praise God. Praise God. If you're glad to be a part of the kingdom of God, let's stand together today. Let's bless the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want to invite you to come down to the altar. If you're just glad to be a part of the kingdom of God, I want you to come. If you're traveling and you're a little bit road weary, I want you to come. Praise God. Brother Kenny, Paul doesn't help us at all. Paul said, and Trophimus, I left at Miletus sick. Paul, who had raised the dead and healed folks and cast out devils, he said, I left one of my buddies. I left one of those that I'm traveling with, apparently a worker with him in the kingdom like these other guys. He said he just couldn't make it any further. I had to leave him at Miletus. We didn't get another inch on that. We didn't get any information on it. He just said, I had to go, and I had to leave him there. Which tells me not everybody got healed. Boy, that'll make you shout, huh? Revival! But not everybody got healed. We believe God for healing, and he surely took stripes for it. But sometimes we leave precious, precious people sick at Miletus. And Paul walks away with all the power of God and the gospel and can't do a thing for his friend. But the friend and the one that leaves him, they both have to cross over ideologically, theologically. They have to cross over and say, this is not the way we want it. This is not, maybe this is something we can't fully understand. But Paul said, Trophimus, I have a problem. I prayed to God 3 times. Do you know he flat told me no? He just said, no, when you're weak like that, I'm strong. And Paul left him there. And sometimes we walk away from beautiful, wonderful relationships in the house of God, and we feel impotent and powerless. But we never doubt the word of God or the power of God or the veracity of his word. These are meat and potato lessons here. Do you know the story of Acts chapter 12 when Peter gets rescued by the angel? He had 16 soldiers around him. He was asleep. Average guy. Can sleep anywhere under any conditions. Chains in the depth of the dungeon. An angel kicks him at midnight and says, get up. And the chains fall off. And all of his soldiers are asleep. And the door opens. And the angel leads him out. And he thinks he's dreaming until they get to the iron gate of the city. And I mean, it comes on him. And he knows God has delivered him. That's a wonderful story of deliverance. But James, the apostle, James, the head of the church in Jerusalem, had been in that same jail cell. And the same church had been praying for him. And the same God loved him. And the same redemption was in his life. Anything, any way you want to categorize that, he was a faithful child of God. And Herod cut his head off. And seeing that it pleased the people, he thought to kill Peter also. And we love the victory of Peter's deliverance. And if I'm in that play, I want to be Peter. I don't want to be James. It's like, you know, if it's okay, I'll be Peter, you be James. But Peter walked away from there, and he still preached it, and the church still believed it. You know, they were on their faces praying for Peter. Nobody said, well, we prayed for James, and look what happened. There's a lot of things on the highway of God we may not fully comprehend, we may not fully understand, and we leave people behind. And it'll break your heart. It'll tear your heart out. But we leave them behind in the confidence that God knows everything. He does everything well. He never makes mistakes. And he's the one that numbers our days. Praise God. If you love him and you've already made up your mind, you're going to live for God with all of your heart. Let's lift up our hands and bless him and strengthen him and praise him and worship him. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it'd be good if you just come on down here close. We'll meet with you here. God will fill you with the Spirit this morning. If you've never been washed in the blood, you never had your sins washed away in baptism, I'd like for you to come down. We'll baptize you this morning. And God will meet you here. And God will wash every sin away.
I stand amazed at your strength.
I don't know where you are on the road. And I don't know what's happening with you or your life. But you just need to praise him this morning. You need to lift him and thank him and bless him. And just thank God that I can be a part of the church of the living God.
And I stand amazed. I'm amazed at your power, Lord. So amazing.
Praise the Lord.
Sister
Jessica, Sister Ophelia. Vienen ustedes aquí. Traiga su bambina. You can continue to pray. We're about to, you know what we're about to do? We're about to dedicate a baby. Last Sunday, we had people receive the Holy Ghost here. We had young ladies back down in the altar. I think they're going to get the Holy Ghost every service. I think they have a thought that they need to pray through to the Holy Ghost every service. That's not a bad idea. In that revival service over in Inslee, had five new ones get the Holy Ghost. You know what they just did? They just stepped out onto the King's Highway. Brand new. You know what we're about to do here with Ophelia and Amy Garcia Chavez? We're about to say, here's one brand new one. And I got a feeling they don't know a whole lot about apostolic life. But it doesn't matter a bit. They're about to take a step out onto a highway. And there's a throng of people that are traveling with them. And we're going to wrap our arms around them and we're going to say, come on, this is the way, walk ye in it. We're going to walk with them and God's going to build them. Yo necesito para usted a traducir, por favor, porque mi español es muy, muy pobre. Sí, sí. Okay. Praise God. Ophelia, we're so glad that you came. And we're so glad to have Amy here today. Yeah. And this is a very wonderful thing that you're doing. To bring a child and say, I want this child to live for God. And to say, Lord, my children belong to you. This is a powerful thing. Because God hears it. And immediately God is drawn to it. And God will immediately lay his hand on you and on her. Jesus said, these little guys have angels that are before the face of God night and day. Isn't that incredible? So, she doesn't understand anything we're saying. She's asleep. And so we dedicate her, but we're really dedicating you. Because in your life and in your house, If you worship the devil, she probably will. And if you live like the devil, she probably will. And if, well, we could continue that. But you understand the punto, huh? Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we dedicate you. And you're going to be a godly woman. And so she sees her mama. And she knows how to be a godly woman. And you're going to love the Word of God. And then she'll look at you and say, I want to love the Word of God. You get it? Yeah. So, I guess the question is, will you live for God? Will you serve God with all of your heart? Will you raise this baby up in a house full of the Word of God? Will you bring her to the house of God? Don't send her. Bring her to the house of God. Praise God. We have a little Bible with her name on it. She can't read it. You're going to have to read it to her. Will you read the Word of God to her? Will you sing the songs of God to her? Praise God. Well, here, I'm going to give that to you. Well, we're so excited. We're going to pray for you and for Amy right now, okay? Praise God. Put your hand on her there. We're going to pray together. Put your hand on her there. By the name of Jesus, by the word of the living God, we pray, God, for this home, this family, for this baby. We pray, oh God, that you would lay your hand of strength and anointing upon them. Keep them, oh God, in the palm of your hand. Make them, oh God, a place of joy and strength and health. Let the goodness of God rain down. God bless Ophelia. God, give her strength to be a good mom, a godly woman, a godly mother, a great example. Teach her how to pray, oh God. Show her the ways of your word, mighty God. Cause her, oh God, to stand strong in the kingdom of God. Do it in the name above every name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Could we give God praise and magnify him? Hallelujah. Oh, we magnify you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody's getting the Holy Ghost over here. Somebody's talking in tongues over here right now. You want to tell her that on the day she was dedicated, that people were receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. Praise God. Let's give God praise and thanks for the outpouring of His Spirit. Come back tonight for prayer at 6 and apostolic service at 6:30. God bless.